Doc, A Memoir is a Tough Read. With Newsday columnist Ellis Hennequin, Dwight Doc Gooden has produced a chronicle of his decades-long struggle against self-destruction via drug and alcohol addiction. Happily, Gooden, a former Cy Young Award winner and MVP, is sober today. Dwight Gooden, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
Doc, A Memoir begins with your failure to join your teammates in a celebration after the New York Mets had won the 1986 World Series, but tell us where you were the day of that celebratory parade and the night before it.
Which should have been the highlight of my baseball career at that point. Unfortunately, 3 hours after clinching the World Series and celebrating my teammates, I found myself in a house in projects in Long Island, partying all night, drinking, drugging, through the wee hours of night. My goal was to get a little bit of drugs and go back and join my teammates at a local bar. Obviously, I never made it out of that apartment. And I saw the sun come up, and watching the parade, when the parade started on TV, that's basically what sobered me up. And that's when all the shame and the guilt and embarrassment came in, and every negative thought that you can imagine going through my head. I spent the rest of that day, and you know, when I finally got the courage to drive home, in my apartment with the drapes closed, the sheds pulled, and just basically by myself, just sobbing all day.
You were 19 years old when you joined the previously disappointing Mets back in 1984, and as it says in the book, and I'm quoting now, a whole lot of Mets fans thought the savior might be me. For a time, you pitched as if you could be that savior. From 84 to 86, you won 58 games, lost only 19. You led the league in strikeouts twice and in ERA once. I wonder if at that point you felt, hey, this is easy.
I didn't feel like it was easy, but I tell you what, I felt like I could be successful for a long time. I took a lot of pride in my work between starts and my preparation that I would go through with pitching coach Mel Stottlemyre, as well as my dad, you know, back in Tampa. It was a situation where I felt like it was more so 85 or after the All-Star break in 84 where I felt like I truly belonged. But in 85, it was a situation where it almost felt like it was at a concert and I was the main event and everybody was there to see me. And unfortunately, the following year in 86, a lot of expectations, you know, from the media, myself, the organization, was overwhelming. And it just got to the point where it just became too much. And that's when the drugs and the alcohol became very, very demanding and useful, where I was basically medicating myself.
Regarding cocaine, you write in the book, quote, it was love at first sniff. Tell us a little bit about how and where you began using the drug.
I had a cousin that basically was a drug dealer, and he also had women that worked for him on the street. I was at his place, and I was basically there to pick up some marijuana, and he said he had to go get it. He was all out. And as he left the house to go get it, I told him I'll wait here. It was two young ladies in one of the rooms at his place, barely dressed, and they was doing cocaine, and they was drinking. And they asked me to come join them. I said, no, I'd rather not, because at that time I couldn't imagine myself, you know, doing anything worse than marijuana, even though a drug is a drug. But, you know, they wasn't doing it, and women was one of my weaknesses as well. So eventually they convinced me, and doing a couple lines, that I had a couple drinks. I tried it just to see what it was like, and unfortunately, it gave me a feel like I never felt before. It was a false feeling where I thought this is the way I always wanted to feel, and the rest was history.
Dwight, I remember speaking with you in the visitor's locker room at Fenway Park in 98 or 99. You were pitching for the Cleveland Indians at the time, and you said all the right things. Every day was a gift. You felt fortunate to be alive, let alone to be in the major leagues still. Were you fooling people like me in those days, or were you fooling yourself as well?
I was fooling myself, but at the time I said those things, that's where I was, and it was a gift, and I was feeling great. Unfortunately, you know, my track record has been, once I get the clean time in, I'll start cutting back on the things that I'm supposed to do. Those things are basically my treatment. Like if you had cancer, you get chemo. Having the disease of drugs and alcohol, my treatment is the sponsor, the meetings, the support group. I always start cutting back on that. And when I start cutting back on that, it's just a matter of time before I'm going to relapse. And it happened so many times, and unfortunately it took a lot of beatings to me and self-destruction that, you know, now I have to accept that as part of my life, and that's just the way it is on a daily basis.
According to the book, you didn't embrace sobriety until 2011. Why were you able to take advantage of participation on the TV program Celebrity Rehab when you hadn't allowed all those previous rehab programs to work?
I think the thing that really helped me was removing that mask from myself and being honest with myself and coming clean with myself and admitting that I am an addict. I'm just not an active addict. I do have the disease of alcohol and drugs. And I think being on TV allowed me to basically tell my story and come clean, because in my sick thinking, even though my track record says I am a full-blown addict and alcoholic, I still had a denial, or I still didn't want to come out and admit that. I didn't want to admit that to myself, so I definitely didn't want to admit it to others. At the time, I was ready, truly ready, to surrender to this disease. Gave me an opportunity and gave me a stage where I can admit to the world that this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be the rest of my life, but hopefully I'm just not going to be active in the addiction.
I mentioned that Doc is not an easy or a comfortable book to read. Was it also a hard book to write?
It was tough at times. It was a lot of tears writing that book, like we just mentioned, talking about missing the parade, talking about the first time I did it, about missing my kids' birthdays and school activities, going to prison, being suspended from baseball, isolating from my family for 3 months, and being stuck in a hotel. While I was writing those things, it was very painful, but at the same time, it was very therapeutic where I got a lot out of it. It was a big burden off of me once I was able to put that on paper and talk about it. And also in the book, it was a lot of joy about talking about my career, talking about situations where I've helped others, and the journey that I'm on now, and talking about where I'm at today, was the biggest thing and the most joy I got out of that. And my whole thing was, I got a lot of therapy out of this book, and I hope that somebody can read it and they get to understand how it all unwinded for myself and how also I was feeling during my glory days. And also the most important thing is, hopefully this can help someone else that may be going through similar situations or may know someone that's going through similar situations, because drugs is a very powerful thing. And as I put in the book, it basically became my number one priority in my life. It was that much power, and I was that powerless over it.
Tell us a little bit about your current circumstances and your health and what you're doing to hold on to that sobriety.
My health is great right now, and as I write in the book, the things that keep me going, I have to have my foundation. Obviously, I'm a big believer in Christ, a big believer in AA and NA, which I do. I go to meetings. I stay in contact with my sponsor as well as someone in my support group. I help coach my 8-year-old's baseball team as much as I can. I help, you know, deal with the youth programs as much as I can. I go to schools. I go to correctional centers for the youth and just basically tell my story and hopefully be there for them. I do work with the Mets and Yankees more on the corporate side. And that's my joy, as well as spending a lot of time with my kids and being involved in their activities, whether it's at school or the sports.
Doc, a memoir, is the story of Dwight Gooden's baseball career and his battle with addiction. Dwight Gooden, it's been a pleasure to speak to you again, and I wish you the best going forward.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Do you have good memories of watching Doc Gooden pitch in the 80s and the 90s? If so, please tell us about them by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio. That's facebook.com/onlyagameradio.